Eddie, the Freshman Year. Chapter 2. The Turn of Events. 2 weeks into the school year, Eddie has accumulated 48 ounces of gold and figures that he must redeem it soon. With the weekend finally arriving, he decides that now is the perfect time. Eddie still has his lawn duties, which he is now confined to do on the weekends. Since it is the end of the mowing season, each lawn is on a 2-week schedule, so he has only 4 lawns to cut each week instead of the usual 8. His lawn maintenance business will end in about 2 months, when the weather gets a bit colder. Waking up a little late, Eddie comes downstairs and makes himself his own breakfast. Eddie's mother is doing a few Saturday morning chores around the house, while his father is at the Italian delicatessen picking up a few items that he cannot get elsewhere, such as fresh pickles and capicolo. Eddie makes a plate of fresh blueberries, cantaloupe, skim cheese, yogurt, and an English muffin with homemade strawberry jam. Eddie's mother, looking at the plate, asks Eddie, "Are you a little hungry already?" Eddie tells her, "I have 4 lawns to cut this morning. I want to get them done early so I can go out on a ride." Eddie's mother asks him, "Isn't cutting 4 lawns enough exercise?" Eddie replies, "Well, maybe a short ride then." After finishing his breakfast, Eddie gets ready to go to work. Before cutting the lawns, Eddie prepares for his afternoon ride, giving his breakfast a little time to digest. He checks his tool bag to see if he has all that he needs. Eddie loads the gold into the handlebar bag he bought a while ago, which is getting a bit on the heavy side. Eddie takes a quick look at the drawing he made of the portal, on which he wrote the date, September 2011. After double-checking everything, Eddie is ready for his ride later this afternoon. Eddie heads out to cut the lawns, which are all clustered in the same area of his neighborhood. With the cooler autumn weather, he is able to get 4 lawns cut much faster than in the hot summer sun. While Eddie is cutting lawns, he thinks about the freshman versus sophomore football game played during the first week of school. Football, he thought, seemed like it was fun, more fun than the pickup games after school. Thinking a little deeper, he figured the varsity football team would be a lot more serious competition than gym class. Eddie reasoned to himself that football is just a game of kill the man with the ball with strict rules. Eddie's assessment is not far from the truth. After cutting the lawns, Eddie heads home for lunch. As he is putting the equipment away, he notices that he is less tired than usual after working in the cooler weather. Thinking back to the day Mr. Fraser made him run the quarter mile, along with Mark and Braden, it occurs to him that a 54-second quarter mile is his personal record. This news sounds even more encouraging to Eddie for the winter track season. Eddie will be running indoors, and not in the heat, which may translate into increased performance and better times. Lunch is usually eaten together in Eddie's home. Today, however, Eddie's father is absent because he has to finish a job that will have to be completed by Monday. Eddie's father returned earlier today from the delicatessen with fresh food in hand. Eddie's father made his lunch and immediately headed out to work. For lunch today, Eddie has a ham and capicolo sandwich made on homemade whole grain bread. A generous serving of pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds completes the midday meal. While eating lunch, Eddie wonders what kind of food the mechanic has to eat in 2011. After lunch, Eddie goes to the basement and gets his bicycle. Since he just ate lunch, he rides a lot slower than normal toward the portal. Today, Eddie is in no rush. He has nothing planned for the rest of the weekend, other than a little bit of homework that will not take too long. Passing Angelo's service station, Eddie notices that the station is very busy on Saturdays. It occurs to Eddie that Angelo works 6 days a week. A little farther down the road, Eddie gets on the path to the portal. While approaching the portal, he looks at the parkway, noticing that there is not a lot of traffic today. Not as many people are headed to the beach now that the weather is getting cooler. Entering the portal, Eddie raises his right hand and says, September 10th, 2011. He picked the 10th because it was on a Saturday. The sound on the parkway gets very quiet, and the air suddenly appears a lot cleaner. Looking over at the parkway, there are now far more cars than a minute ago. Eddie also notices that the cars are quieter. Eddie rides down the path toward the service station, which is in the direction away from the beach. Turning off the parkway path, Eddie enters the side streets. The first thing Eddie notices is that all the cars look very different. The second thing he notices is that the roadway does not smell like car exhaust. Continuing to the service station, Eddie marvels at all the changes he sees in the homes and shopping centers. As Eddie approaches the service station, he notices that all the bay doors are closed. Eddie rides in and sees the mechanic sitting behind his desk working on something that he does not recognize. After getting off his bicycle, Eddie opens the door and walks in. He is careful not to leave the bicycle outside because 24 ounces of gold is hidden in the handlebar bag. Eddie sees the mechanic sitting at his desk, who appears worn out and fatigued. The mechanic is older now. His once 21-inch arms are now 15 inches, and it appears he's lost a lot of weight. Although the station is open, it seems the mechanic has taken a day off. The mechanic greets Eddie, saying, "Oh good, you're here." Eddie asks the mechanic, "Are you not busy today?" The mechanic tells Eddie, "No. I'm just pumping gas and looking up some stuff on the internet." Never hearing the word internet before, Eddie replies, asking, "On the what?" The mechanic replies, "The internet." Thinking for a moment, the mechanic tells Eddie, "Oh, yeah. There is no internet in your world yet." Eddie walks to the other side of the desk to take a look. This is Eddie's first look at a laptop computer, which has Google search results on the screen. Eddie has no idea what he is looking at, nor the power that is at the mechanic's hands. Eddie wants to take a look and see how this internet thing works. However, the mechanic has something much more imperative to discuss with Eddie. The mechanic tells Eddie, "We have something more important to talk about right now." Seeing a look of concern on the mechanic's face, Eddie responds, "Like what?" As he closes the laptop, the mechanic tells Eddie to have a seat. Eddie pulls up a chair on the other side of the desk. Eddie asks the mechanic, "What's up?" The mechanic, who has always been frank with Eddie, tells him, "You're sick." Eddie responds, "What do you mean, I'm sick? I just ran a 54-second quarter mile in gym class. I feel great." The mechanic explains, "No. It's not that kind of sick. You have a genetic disorder. It's called MTHFR. No one has ever heard about it in your time. It was discovered just a short time ago." Eddie, not knowing how to respond, inquisitively asks, "Well, what is it?" The mechanic explains to Eddie, "It means that your body can't process the vitamin called folic acid properly. You need the active form of the vitamin, which is methylfolate, which you can't buy at your time. This is a lot to understand, but it causes something called homocysteine to build up, and that will eventually cause arteries to clog." Eddie, a bit startled, asks, "What? How did you find out about this?" The mechanic tells Eddie, "I hurt my back lifting a transmission a few years ago, and I went to a chiropractor. Just recently, I told him I was getting tired. He suggested I take a genetic test. That's how we found it." The mechanic spells out to Eddie that he needs to take methylfolate and other B vitamins, especially B12, otherwise he is going to have a lot of problems when he gets older. The MTHFR genetic defect was not known during Eddie's time, and the proper vitamins he needs to take are not readily available at his time either. Eddie will have to go through the portal, buy them in the future, and take them back with him when he returns to his time. Reminded that the mechanic is Eddie, but in the future, Eddie sees that the mechanic, now in his early 50s, is not well. Realizing that, if this is his destiny, Eddie has the power to change it. The mechanic tells Eddie, "Let me make a phone call." Pulling out his iPhone, the mechanic begins to call his chiropractor. Eddie stops him, asking, "What in the world is that thing?" The mechanic replies, "It's my cell phone," showing it to Eddie. The mechanic tells Eddie, "Oh, yeah. They don't have those either where you come from." Eddie is amazed that a small plastic box with a plethora of interesting pictures on it is actually a telephone. To Eddie, a telephone is a large cumbersome black box with a receiver and a dial, or, if you're really lucky, push buttons. As the mechanic is calling his chiropractor, Eddie is listening to the radio playing in the background. The song he hears is "Need You Now" by Lady Antebellum, which he really likes. The mechanic calls his chiropractor, Dr. Bobbin. The doctor is usually not in the office on Saturday. The mechanic figures he'd check anyway. Fortunately, the doctor answers his cell phone, and the mechanic asks, "Hey, are you in today?" Dr. Bobbin informs the mechanic that he is not, but asks him what he needs. The mechanic tells the chiropractor, "I need to pick up some of the vitamins and some of the methylfolate." The chiropractor informs the mechanic he can meet him at the office in 30 minutes if he wants. The mechanic agrees, telling the doctor, "Sure, 30 minutes. Thank you very much." The mechanic instructs Eddie, "Put your bike in the back. We're going to the chiropractor." Just to check, the mechanic asks Eddie, "Did you bring any gold?" Eddie replies, "Yeah. 48 ounces. It's in my handlebar bag." Doing some quick math in his head, the mechanic realizes that amount of gold represents about $85,000. It's not going to be possible to sell that much gold all at once for cash anywhere. The mechanic informs Eddie, "That's about $85,000 of gold. We can't sell all of that right now." The mechanic directs Eddie, "Go and get 10 ounces out of your tool bag." Eddie walks into the shop and gets the gold out of the handlebar bag. While Eddie gets the gold, the mechanic shuts off the pumps and turns the outside signs off. They walk over to the mechanic's car, which is still the 1969 MGB he got from Angelo many years ago when he was back in high school. The mechanic tells Eddie he has another car, which also seats two, but drives the MGB on weekends and when the weather is nice. The mechanic is known around town to everyone as the mechanic. Representing the skill of the mechanic, the MGB is an icon many are familiar with. Cars like the 1969 MGB should have been retired years ago, but this one is running better than the day it left the factory. When the British Racing Green MGB drives down the road, everyone knows who is driving it. It would be easier for the mechanic to keep the car running and drive it than it would be to explain to everyone that he no longer has it. For this reason, the mechanic will always have the MGB. Whenever anything goes wrong with the MGB, no matter how small, the mechanic is quick to repair it. After all, the condition of the mechanic's car is a testimony of his skill. The mechanic and Eddie drive down the road and under the bridge to the parkway. Past the bridge, the area has gone commercial. Eddie barely recognizes the road. The coin store is in the same place it has been for years, but the area around it is more built up now. They pull into the parking lot, and the mechanic reminds Eddie that he has to either wait in the car or walk around. Eddie knows that he cannot enter the coin shop with the mechanic because Jimmy, the proprietor, would recognize Eddie and the mechanic as being the same person. While the mechanic is in the coin store, Eddie gets out of the MGB and takes a look at the newer cars in the parking lot. Not seeing the classical steel bumpers from his era, Eddie wonders why most cars no longer have bumpers. Eddie is also wondering what is taking the mechanic so long. Back in the coin store, the mechanic finds out the price of gold is about $1,850 per ounce. Jimmy gives the mechanic a deal on the commission, netting $1,800 per ounce. Jimmy is able to redeem all 10 ounces for cash. The mechanic informs Jimmy that he has some more gold that he wants to sell. Jimmy tells the mechanic to just give him a few days' notice, and he can have the cash available. Selling 10 ounces of gold, the mechanic walks out of the store with $18,000 in cash, in $100 bills. The mechanic returns to the car, and Eddie asks, "What's the matter?" Cars have no bumpers anymore. Giving Eddie some interesting news, the mechanic informs him, "Cars are made out of plastic these days. They don't make them like they used to. The engines run good, and they are really reliable. But if you get in an accident, the bodies fall apart." They both get in the MGB, and the mechanic hands Eddie the cash and tells him to put it in the glove box. Looking at the stack of bills, Eddie is amazed. Eddie asks, "How much money is that?" The mechanic replies, $18,000, which is a couple summers of lawn cutting. "Let's go pick up the vitamins." The mechanic heads back in the direction of the service station, passing it on the way to the chiropractor. On the way to the chiropractor, the mechanic breaks the news to Eddie that he cannot bring $85,000 back with him and hide it in his room or put it in the bank for obvious reasons. The mechanic, however, has a plan. He tells Eddie to hide some gold and cash in the MGB at Angelo's service station. The MGB will remain in the same location and not move until Angelo tells Eddie he can have the car. This makes the MGB the perfect place to hide anything. Angelo does not care about the MGB at all, which can rust away to nothing as far as he is concerned. When they get back to the service station, the mechanic's plan is to give Eddie a key to the MGB and show him how to hide the cash. The mechanic and Eddie arrive at the chiropractor's office. Dr. Bobbin, the chiropractor, is inside, sorting through the mail while he is waiting. The mechanic instructs Eddie to get a few $100 out of the glove box. Eddie asks the mechanic, "Vitamins cost that much?" The mechanic replies, "Everything costs a lot more now. On average, anything costs 10 times what it does from when you came from." Eddie walks in with the mechanic, and the doctor greets them both. Introducing Eddie as George, a kid from high school, the mechanic tells the doctor he is interested in cars. The doctor asks the mechanic, "What did you need today?" The mechanic replies, "The vitamins and the methylfolate. And do you have anything to build up muscles?" The doctor asks, "Would that be for George or you?" "For George," replies the mechanic. Explaining the basics, the doctor tells them, "The branched-chain amino acids are a must. A free-form amino supplement will also help, and definitely some vitamins. The vitamins you usually buy would be good. But remember, resistance training, such as lifting weights, is most important when building muscle. Supplements alone will not do it." Asking the doctor for a favor, the mechanic asks, "Can you tell George about the genetic problem I got? He's interested in this kind of stuff." The doctor replies, "Sure, if I have your permission." Giving his permission, the mechanic replies, "Sure, no problem." The doctor tells the mechanic, "Let me get your file. It will be just a minute." Watching the doctor print the test results from a computer, Eddie is amazed at the technology he is witnessing. Laser printers and personal computers do not exist during Eddie's era. The doctor returns with the report, which is an 8-page color printout, showing genetic variations that can be intervened with by using nutritional supplements. Showing Eddie the test results, the doctor explains the basics of genetics. Beginning his dissertation, the doctor explains, "The test we performed was a DNA analysis. You are born with two copies of each gene. One you get from your mother, and the other one from your father. This column represents the name of the gene, this other column labeled genotype, and risk shows the genetic variation. If the risk is coded in yellow, then it is called heterozygous. In other words, one of the two genes is what we call a variant. When you see the risk coded in red, both copies of the gene are variants. Variants are sometimes good, sometimes bad. These other columns have suggestions for nutritional intervention." After the doctor goes over the basics, he begins discussing the mechanic's genetic report, which, unknowing to the doctor, is also Eddie's, who the doctor thinks is George. The doctor continues, first, we'll look at this section labeled methylation. This gene, labeled MTHFR, stands for methylene tetrahydrofolate. Reductase. We see it is in yellow, meaning there is one defective copy. That results in about a 30 to 50% reduction in the enzyme efficiency. This gene, by the way, is why the mechanic can't take the heat in the summer. The defective enzyme is what we call thermolabile. That's a fancy chemistry word that means that the efficiency of the enzyme gets worse in the hot weather, in this case, a lot worse. The MTHFR defect causes an accumulation of homocysteine, which is a significant cause of plaque buildup in arteries. That will eventually lead to a heart attack or stroke. It also causes an increased risk of gastric cancers, such as stomach cancer. The good news is that the risk can be totally averted by taking methylfolate, vitamin B12, and a good vitamin B complex. Interrupting himself, the doctor says, "Let me get another report. This one will be very interesting. I'll be right back." While the doctor steps away, the mechanic asks Eddie if he understood what the doctor was talking about. Eddie says he understands a lot of it, and understands that he has to take the right vitamins. The mechanic tells Eddie that, if he takes the vitamins, he will be changing his future, and he will be a lot more healthy. Eddie asks the mechanic whether the vitamins will help his athletic performance. The mechanic tells Eddie they will ask the doctor when he returns. The doctor returns to the room with another genetic report. This report is a little more in-depth. Continuing with his narrative, the doctor continues, here's another report with some interesting good news. Look at this gene here, the ACTN3 gene, which stands for actinin alpha-3. This variant means that the mechanic has the genetics to be an awesome sprinter, which he told me he was a long time ago. There are a couple other gene variants related to sprinting and muscle composition, which are present in the most desirable variation, which are all beneficial for an athlete. Pointing to another line on the report that references the MAOA gene, the doctor continues, the MAOA gene, the variant type labeled here, is IS909525G. The report shows that the MAOA gene variation is the 2R, or 2 repeat version. This particular combination is known as the warrior gene. Obviously, this is a desirable characteristic on the sports field, or, as the name warrior suggests, on the battlefield. The MAOA gene, by the way, breaks down the neurotransmitters serotonin, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and dopamine in the synapse. Those are all excitatory neurotransmitters. The doctor then addresses another gene that would suggest higher physical energy. Pointing to several other lines on the report, he continues, all of these COMT variants slow down the elimination of some of the excitatory neurotransmitters from the body. The flip side of this, however, is that, without exercise and physical activity, there's a tendency to not sleep well. The doctor finishes, telling them, it's all here. All the genetic makings of a super athlete. It's just too bad that all this wasn't known about 40 years ago. Otherwise, the mechanic probably could have made the Olympics. Eddie is amazed at what he is hearing from the doctor. In Eddie's era, a visit to the doctor amounts to not much more than looking down his throat and listening to his heart to make sure it's still beating. The mechanic asks the doctor, will the vitamins increase athletic performance, say, like in anyone? Referring to George, the doctor emphatically states, yes, especially at his age. The mechanic also asks, how about me? The doctor replies, if you had these supplements when you were his age, you'd be even a better track star than you were. Unfortunately, these vitamins and supplements weren't available back then. This is part of the reason the athletes today are faster and stronger than decades ago. Little does the doctor know that, because of the portal, the nutritional supplements will now be available to Eddie back in his time. The doctor asks the mechanic, okay, so what did you want to pick up today? The mechanic replies, Let me get the vitamins and the methylfolate. The mechanic then asks, and what were the other two you mentioned? The free-form amino acids and the branched-chain amino acids, the doctor replies, and asks, do you want those too? The mechanic responds, yeah. Let me get those too. Give me two of everything, but three of the methylfolate. Give me the bigger sizes if you have them. While the doctor goes to the back and gets the products, the mechanic whispers to Eddie, with the gold we sold today, your vitamins are essentially free. In a moment, the doctor returns with the products. Explaining the protocol for taking the products, the doctor instructs Eddie, you should take three of the vitamin capsules each day, one at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The branched-chain amino acids are for building muscle. Take the free-form amino acids with the branched-chain amino acids. Two or three capsules of each between meals are a good amount. Handing Eddie the instructions for taking the vitamins and supplements, the doctor tells him, the instructions are all here on this paper for you. The doctor then figures out the bill for today's purchases. Pulling out some cash, the mechanic counts it and hands it to the doctor. The mechanic tells the doctor to keep the change, which is about $30. The doctor tries to decline, but the mechanic insists, telling him he appreciated him coming in over the weekend. Knowing they just changed Eddie's future health, the mechanic and Eddie thank the doctor again for coming in over the weekend. On the way back to the service station, the mechanic tells Eddie that he is going to have to come back to the future for more vitamins. He also tells Eddie that the company that makes the vitamins and supplements did not exist back in his time. The mechanic also instructs Eddie to take the methylfolate in the morning. The mechanic suggests that Eddie take off the label or find a different bottle to store the vitamins. Otherwise, it would be a mystery to all where they came from. It would, however, be no mystery to Eddie. When they get back to the service station, the mechanic and Eddie take the vitamins and the cash from selling the gold inside. They exchange the newer bills for older ones that Eddie can take back with him. Eddie also has to take the remainder of the gold back with him, but he will make more trips to sell it a little at a time. The mechanic goes into the back of the office and gets a spare key for the MGB. The mechanic explains to Eddie that there are two keys, a smaller one for the door lock and trunk, and the ignition key. He gives Eddie only the key for the door lock and trunk. Giving Eddie the ignition key is pointless, because the car won't start anyway back in Eddie's time. The mechanic gives Eddie a brief tutorial on how to remove the sill plate of the MGB. Removal of the sill plate is quite easy, which Eddie is able to do with no problem. The mechanic also tells Eddie that he can also hide anything under the spare tire in the trunk. And the mechanic reveals the best hiding place of all, which is inside the battery compartment. The battery compartment is located behind the seats and has a lot of empty space. Removal of the cover, however, is time-consuming. The mechanic informs Eddie that the battery box has been modified, so when he gets back, it will look different from its appearance right now. Eddie tells the mechanic, I'll come back again sometime around August 2011. The mechanic tells Eddie, vary the dates a little when you sell the gold. But if you come back on tomorrow's date to sell gold, Jimmy will remember from today. It doesn't matter how much you get for the gold. You're still way in the black. Eddie immediately understands and realizes for the first time that the mechanic's wisdom is actually his own. Eddie decides to come back every few weeks to sell the gold, spacing out his future visits by 2 or 3 weeks. As Eddie prepares to go back to his time, the mechanic tells him that, if he continues to take the vitamins, he will be much healthier in the future. Eddie packs his tool bag and handlebar bag with the gold and cash. He then places the bag containing the vitamins in the handlebar bag. The bag contains 9 large bottles of supplements, which barely fits in the handlebar bag. Next time, Eddie figures he should bring something that will be more convenient to carry the vitamins, such as a backpack. Before Eddie leaves, the mechanic tells Eddie, you know, you can come to the future sometime and check out the beach. The mechanic explains, when you come here to the station, we can conduct business, like redeeming the gold, or just talk. The mechanic gives Eddie some parting advice. You can go to the future and have some fun. Ride around and see what the world will be like then. Eddie tells the mechanic, yeah. I was thinking about riding to the beach and checking it out. Still frequently visiting the beach, the mechanic tells Eddie, well, the beach is the one thing that hasn't changed much. As Eddie rides off to the portal, the mechanic opens his laptop and continues where he left off this morning. On the way to the portal, Eddie takes a look at Mark's house as he passes by. Eddie notices that Mark's house looks very well maintained, which made him wonder what his house looks like in 2011. He decides that will be an adventure for another day. As Eddie approaches the portal, he realizes this trip took up a lot of time. Looking at his watch, it looks as if he will be late for dinner again. Eddie figures he'll have to ride fast to get home on time. Arriving at the portal, Eddie walks in and walks out again, back to his time. Looking at his watch one more time, he notices that the watch has the same time as when he entered the portal earlier today. It looks like time stood still while he was away. Although Eddie was gone for several hours, no time has appeared to have elapsed on his watch. He arrived back at his time the same time that he had left. Eddie did not realize time did not actually pass during other trips through the portal. This could be because the trips were shorter or because of some apprehensiveness that may have accompanied the other trips. Eddie arrives home and puts his bicycle away. The first thing he does after walking inside is to check the clock on the wall. The clock has the same time as his watch, which is good news. Bringing the vitamins up to his room, Eddie opens the bottles. Eddie decides to leave the labels on the bottles for now, so he does not get them confused. He wastes no time in going forward taking the supplements. Starting with the branched-chain amino acids and the free-form amino acids, Eddie takes two of each to begin with. The vitamin will have to wait for dinner time, and the methylfolate until tomorrow, per the instructions he received from the mechanic. Dinner time arrives, with the menu tonight being chicken and tortilla chips with freshly made salsa. A salad also accompanies the simple meal. Eddie's mother made the salsa herself, with fresh vegetables from the garden. The salad, likewise, is all fresh from the garden. After dinner, Eddie takes his vitamin. Remembering the doctor told him that lifting weights and the amino acids will build muscle, Eddie decides to lift weights later in the evening. As the evening arrives, Eddie heads downstairs to the basement to work out. He starts with the bench press, doing a warm-up set of 10 repetitions with 90 pounds. He raises the weight to 150 pounds and does as many repetitions as he can. Dropping the weight by 10 pounds, he does as many repetitions as he can with 140 pounds. He continues this pattern for 8 sets in total. This is known as the stripping method, which he learned from one of the books he read. Using the same method, Eddie works his back, shoulders, triceps, biceps, and forearms. Eddie ends his workout by working his abdominal muscles by doing crunches. In the book, he read that the abdominal muscles are a stabilization muscle and are meant to be engaged all day. The only way to make gains in the abdominal muscles and get the coveted six-pack is by working them to failure. To work the abdominal muscles properly, each set of crunches must be done to failure. This means doing repetitions until you can't do any more, resting for a minute, and then doing another set until you can't do any more. And, as if that wasn't enough, wait another minute and do a third set, and then a fourth set. After the workout, Eddie gets a large glass of water and takes his amino acid supplements. This time he takes 3 capsules of each. The next day, Eddie hits the weights again. Today, he will work his lower body, starting with squats. Eddie does not have a squat rack, so he has to lift the weight over his head and lower it onto his shoulders. Having no squat rack limits the amount of weight he can squat during a workout. To solve that problem, between sets, he draws up plans for a squat rack, which he plans to build himself. Eddie then works his calves, doing calf raises and reverse calf raises. After his workout, Eddie takes the amino acid supplements and packs two bananas for a bicycle ride. This time out, he goes for a long bicycle ride north of the turnpike where the hills are. This is no leisurely bicycle ride. During this ride, Eddie pushes himself as hard as he can. Eddie now has a plan. One of Eddie's goals is to be the fastest guy in high school long before he is a senior. Eddie also wants to be much stronger than he currently is. Eddie now has more knowledge about how to accomplish that goal. He will get his workouts down to a science, take the supplements, and train harder and smarter.